The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar, but not too familiar, but not too not familiar. It's a new craze. Angry girls, do you wanna just say, hey, I wanna? Just say, hey, I wanna.
Guys, I have breaking news from 22 Infinite Loop. Or whatever the fuck Apple's address is.
This is my brother and me, an advice ship for the modern era. What's the news?
Let me break out this fucking tech news. I'm trying to get the SEO right, and you're stepping on my. What are you doing?
That's the breaking news sound.
Yeah, that's the one we paid that studio thousands upon thousands of dollars to make, and you got so mad at us because you said it sounded like us going boop 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 boop.
Here, let me hit play again so you can do your breaking.
Okay.
News.
Breaking news from 22 Infinite Loop. It's the new model of everyone's favorite touchable. It's the guy phone. They changed it. It's the new model.
It's going along just like Dr. Pepper and 7-Up. This is just for men.
Nope, that's not it. It's a little anthropomorphic phone. It lives in your pocket. It's just a little guy.
It's horrible.
He's just a little guy. He lives in your pocket and he does all the things that the iPhone 5 did.
Is he shaped like a phone or a guy?
He is, imagine a hybrid.
Ugh.
Of both.
Like, okay, wait, hold on. So like a phone with arms and legs, or like a man with a phone for a face?
It has appendages.
Okay.
It has appendages, and it has a fleshy, scratch-resistant exterior.
The thing you should know about the appendages is that they are extremely breakable.
And oh my god! It's like Mr. Glass from Mr. Glass from Unbreakable.
You'll never stop hearing about it.
Uh huh. So be careful.
You have a phone call. Must be nice. I don't have arms. Yeah. I'm Guy Phone.
I'm
also,
Guy Phone.
Also, there's an unwrapped Starlight mitten here. It's terrible in here.
It sucks.
Please don't leave your Guy Phone in a jar.
I need you to have baggy your pants, please. I need you to be the legend of baggy pants. And I need to ride around in there. And if you could wrap me in pillows, I'm so fragile. Did you want Angry Birds on me?
Angry Birds on my tummy.
Angry Birds on my... We used to Angry Birds all the time, Dave.
My battery's dying!
I'm Dave.
That's what I need. I need a guy phone that can tell me when I shanked it on Super Stickman Golf, even though I know I did. I know it. Ooh, a little high. A little too much mustard on that tomato. Thanks, Guy Phone.
I would like a Guy Phone that was sitting there like, hey, we're going karaoke tonight? Don't you have to work tomorrow? You really think that's a good idea?
Gosh. I don't know. You better set an alarm on me now.
So what I want is a tiny pocket nanny.
Pocket nanny from the makers of Guy Phone. My name is Justin McElroy, by the way.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy. $10,000 for the Guy Phone.
Does it make calls?
They have a cheaper model. It does not make calls, no.
It does not, okay.
They have a cheaper model that doesn't make calls or have apps, and it's just a small man.
That's cheaper?
It's called the Guy Phone Steven.
Neither are a phone.
No. It's also not it's a little corpse.
Guy Phone does.
Wait, Guy Phone Steven is dead?
Yeah, it's a dead pygmy corpse, and you carry it around, and it doesn't have apps, but you can still like play with it at the movies.
Does it ward off evil?
Doesn't do any of that. No, yeah, it's very, very non-functional. But it is cheaper than the Guy Phone, so
just the Guy Phone, just food which, for as thought. We've already established, is pretty limited in terms of functionality already.
Listen, your kids are gonna ask for the fucking Guy Phone for Christmas. You don't have 10 stacks to drop on each and every one of your 7 kids. So I've got a cheaper option for you. We call it the Guy Phone Steven. Guy Phone Steven comes in a lot of different colors. He is a dead corpse. He's a dead corpse. Let's. I'm not going to beat around the bush. We're selling you a corpse. But it's cheaper than the Guy Phone, so you'll be able to fill all those Christmas wishes. Great stocking stuffer. Guy Phone Steven's not going to complain about being stuffed. He's got the same features as the Guy Phone. Very breakable, very brittle appendages.
I'm ready to make a buy. How much do I have to lay down for Guy Phone Steven? Guy Phone's $10,000. What's Guy Phone Steven going to run me?
$14.99. $14.99, and you can have your own Guy Phone, Steven. Now, I know you're wondering,
where are you finding these Lilliputians for your experiments, and how are we not going to wipe out this resource?
I don't want to be accused of false advertising in saying that it is very much similar. The Guy Phone, Steven, is very similar to the Guy Phone. These are obviously failed Guy Phones. These came out of the printing press a little sloppy.
So these are Guy Phones into which we were unable to breathe life.
Yes, they are. They are these half-formed golems.
Mm-hmm.
They are lots of variation in the models. Some of them are very big, which people aren't crazy about, just having these really big mutated corpses. But $14.99, price it can't be beat, coming out this November 32nd.
Get it. Guy Phone Steven.
That's all for today. And now, everybody, Coolio. I'm Coolio, and I'm here to say I like Guy Phone Steven in a major way.
That's Coolio, ladies.
He has not missed a step.
He is still... And then he's going to drop in a fantastic voyage, and lots of tiny Stevens are going to just flop on the stage from the ceiling.
Be dropped like so much dead confetti.
Hey, guys, how old do I have to be to call people in college kids? I'm 25, and I really want to do that. That's from Caleb in New Zealand.
God. Don't call anyone below, like, 13 a kid.
I am getting to that age where everyone's a kid to me now.
Hold on, but there's a difference. Are you specifically referring to someone like, look at that kid, or are you saying like kids today, or those college kids? Because I think that's a lot less, that's innocuous, you know, say like college kids these days, or like, well, I don't want to go hang out with college kids at some college bar. But I think if you like point at a 22-year-old and you're like, look at this kid over here, like,
yeah,
everyone's a kid, because the distinction for me is, do they have responsibilities? And if you're in college, You don't. I mean, you probably don't. You might have some. They may seem like responsibilities that you have, but you don't. That's not accurate.
Are they sexually active? Middle schoolers. Okay. By the time you reach middle school, I saw a Pew Research study about this. By the time that anyone ever reaches middle school, they're already hooking up. They're already shagging and snogging. You can't look at a middle schooler that you know this Saturday night is going to make sweet love to a woman or to a man and say, look at that kid. Look at that sexually active kid. It's not right.
Wrong. But he also doesn't have a job.
It doesn't matter.
It does to me.
Lots of adults don't have jobs.
And they're kids.
You're saying that you get unemployed...
demoted to a kid?
Yeah. Oh, you got fired? You're a kid again.
You're a kid now.
God, it's free. If it was that way, I would tender my resignation right now.
But if you have no job, but you have a child, you become a young adult.
Okay,
I don't understand.
It's a weird sliding scale. I have it written down somewhere.
Is there any gradient between the two, or is it just hard stop? You're a kid now.
Yeah, you mean if you become like a part-time employee,
mm-hmm.
then you're a teenager.
Griffin, Travis, you realize these are tied to ages, right? I mean, we're having a lot of fun here so far. You realize these are delineations for ages, yeah?
I did not.
Okay.
But I'm also not ashamed.
Well, I guess that's something.
Travis is a West Virginia at heart. He's living mountain proud. He doesn't care about the role society makes for him. He's mountain proud.
Can we change the name of our podcast to Mountain Proud? Don't call anyone a kid. I think, once you're like an irascible 70-year-old who like only sits on their porch exclusively, then you can start busting out that kind of vernacular. But when you're 20 fucking five, no way.
Because realistically, like, and I get it, because I do the same thing, but the reason that you want to do that is to feel superior. Is so that you can be like, I've seen some shit, and they are still kids. And, like, yeah, I get it, but it's always going to kind of, even people around you that want to do the same thing, it's always going to make you seem a little bit judgy.
See, it's our fucking, it's our stupid fucking language, devoid of any and all honorifics. That is what Japanese has got on us. Like, they have a system, a regimented system in place for referring to people based on their place compared to yours in, like, the social caste.
Amanda.
We don't have anything like that. Because if so, like, you know, I would probably call you guys, you know, Misters Travis and Justin.
I would be in so
which I think has it. And you would call me, like, Lil Griffin or something like that.
Can we please get that started?
I think we probably could.
I have news for you, Caleb. Why should you should be careful. I'm 32. You're 25. Guess what? You're a kid to me.
You're
25 years old. You're a kid. You're a baby boy. You're a sweet baby boy. Travis is going to be 30 years old in November.
Oh, Jesus.
I know. Gross. Can you imagine? What do you think you're going to be to him? I have a hint for you. A kid.
Yeah. This fucking podcast
kid not, like, lest ye be kidded. Think about it.
This podcast is going to be like 2.5 fucking men once Travis turns 30. It's two adults and a young upstart, crazy religious son.
And introducing Lil Griffin. He melted the heart of a nation.
I yeeted all the potato chips.
And that's his
I've never watched
phrase.
A single episode of that show.
His
where's the potato
phrase?
Chips? I have a date. I eated them all. Have you seen my slingshot?
I actually just found my I eated all the potato chips t-shirt from when Lil Griffin was still really big on TGIF. It is a collector's item now, so I'm going to try to hold on to it.
It's going to come back. You know they're getting the reunion. They're doing it. You guys want a Yahoo?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This Yahoo was... this Yahoo was sent in by Julie Ken. Thanks, Julie Ken. It's by Yahoo Answers user Kool-Aid Man, who asks, how to make my clothes smell clean? I have gym tomorrow, and I don't have time to wash them. How would I make them smell clean, or just smell good? Would spraying them with Tag work?
Sorry, what's Tag?
One more time. Is that like the body spray? Is that a body spray?
So there's three body sprays, right? There's the Trinity of douche smells.
Mm-hmm.
And there's Axe, there's Tag, which is very much, I believe it is also delivered in aerosol form. And then there's Bod. Which I don't know if you guys remember Bod. It was a fully blown liquid form that came in a little Windex bottle. And you would spray that.
Oh, yeah, I want your Bod.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. A very successful ad campaign, very successful parfum. And you just spray that on your clothes or on your wiener, and then you're ready to go for the eve.
What about Saber with four R's at the end? Was that, am I misremembering that as a pretty popular one?
I think you're misremembering that as, like, an extant thing.
Saber. Remember? Saber. It was like Alpine Stink and Mountain Wafter and...
Yeah. Truck Bed Gravel.
Cloud Shaker.
Good Time Saturdays.
Yeah. Bad Time Saturdays. Ugh. Fucking...
Casual Acquaintance.
Mm-hmm. Uncle Dylan's Secret. Mm-hmm. They had lots of different...
Unscented. you just missed yourself with a saline.
I'm dry.
Some sort of saline solution.
I'm really dry.
Take that with you to the theme park.
Sure. Treat yourself.
Treat yourself to a little spritz. A little spritz, a little spray.
How do you make clothes smell? In Ghostbusters, he says that if you leave a shirt in the sun for an hour, it'll smell good. Is that a possibility?
I thought it was that he left it outside his window so that the wind would blow through it and take all the stink particles away.
I'm not That's sure possible. On the physics of stink.
No, little bugs are attracted to it. They'll come, harvest your stink, take it back to their, you know, the drones will take your stink particles back to the queen, build a stink nest. It's just like the circle of life, I guess.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, I'm so glad that my stink is being put to a good purpose.
Would you rather just waste it? Would you rather just, like, flush it down the washing machine, Justin?
No, you're right. I'm eco. I'm green. I use shopping bags at the shopper. And I'm into this. I'm into stink harvesting.
You know what I do? I actually wash my clothes in the river with sharp, jagged stones. So that way all the stink forms into a reef that can host marine life.
Yeah.
You always have to fucking one-up me.
Well, I'm just saying, like, I'm trying to live a green life. I'm sick of it. I don't take baths anymore.
I feed my clothes.
Don't use deodorant.
I feed my clothes to my kids. And that's, like, a fun way of, like, reducing my footprint because my kids die and then they don't like, do anything. And they don't, like, consume anything anymore.
I actually send all my unwanted stinky clothes to starving children in Africa. So they can wear, like, my print at Hardy Tees. Some of my JNCO jeans.
Oh, they love that shit.
They love it. They love the
bag. Oh, that is a great... Please tell me that you wore your Ed Hardy tee and your JNCO jeans together while you sprayed yourself with unscented bod and just, like, got ready to get fucked.
When they see me, I want them to be like, that dude is classy, and I know that because his t-shirt says classy.
Travis isn't just a look. Travis isn't just a person. Travis is an aesthetic, really.
Yeah. You know what? What I'm doing is I'm selling my brand. You know what I mean? Like, it's not just me. It's Travis, trademark.
Mm-hmm. Travis is Sagams. And because your JNCO... I'm assuming your JNCO jeans were tent-like.
They actually contain smaller pants.
So, I don't understand. Are we talking about four pant legs? You're only occupying two at a time? Please don't say three like a dick joke.
No. No, I have two dicks.
Okay.
Moving on. I was raised super religious and was prohibited from most physical contact with other people. If I had been caught even holding hands with a girl, I would have been expelled. I've since gotten out of that environment, but now I don't know what the rules are in the real world. So far, I've been avoiding touching people, except for handshakes and goodbye hugs. But touching is really important for flirting, and it would be fun if I could be sure I wasn't committing some unforgivable social sin by doing it. To be clear, I'm not talking about kissing or sex. Those have obvious rules. I'm talking about the zone between greeting strangers and kissing. When can I touch people without being a creepy jerk? That's from Touchless in Rhode Island.
Such a good question.
Yeah, except that, like, the zone between greeting strangers and kissing is, like, all of it. It's like everything.
Everything that's like hard and dangerous.
It's the whole spectrum. You're talking about, like, a billion different steps in between those two.
Do you want to hear the creepy actor answer?
Oh, God.
I don't think I do.
I think you have a feeling you're going to say it out loud anyway.
I am. One of the things that we learned in our acting movement kind of classes is that when you're working with someone, you can feel their energy.
Fuck
open,
off.
Open holes where, like, people could, like, let you know where it's okay to touch them during a scene based on where their energy opened up a vacuum.
For a long time, Travis would walk into a party and say, "Does everyone feel my dick energy? I feel some really prominent energy. If anyone wants to
I actually, to be fair, called it peenergy, but go on.
I have created a hole in my chi and in my JNCO jeans for you to experience my dick beams.
Let me help.
Gotcha. Right,
we can
gotcha.
Set some...
Should I go?
We could set some pretty easy rules, okay? Here's one. Don't touch anyone's butt.
Yep.
Don't touch anyone's butt ever.
I think if it is shielded by a bathing suit, of course not.
If it's shielded by, I don't care if it's shielded by
what appropriate amount of fabric is there that it is okay to socially touch someone's butt?
You don't. I'm sorry, you don't. Don't ever touch anyone's butt. Man, woman, child,
I don't care if they're wearing six ski suits.
Yeah, I don't even care if you can't tell where their butt is. Like, you give them a butt sort of DMZ, right? Do not touch that butt. Do not touch any butts. If you're in a committed relationship, then you get an engagement ring, and then you ask if you can touch the butt. Other than that, no butt.
Are we talking
touching.
About in public or in private?
I'm talking
public,
about
social.
If you're not in a relationship with someone, you should never touch their butt.
Yes. Why are you even, like,
This person doesn't know. I'm helping. This is helpful.
I don't think it's helpful as much as it is like completely obvious.
Let's go for more of a gray.
Don't put your finger in their butt either. Like don't
go in their ears.
Don't go inside them in any way.
I'm trying to create a practical guide. Don't enter any orifices. That's great. Don't touch their butt. Your mouth probably shouldn't touch anything. Like, don't put your mouth on someone's neck. They hate it.
Okay, so let's go for more of a gray area and less of, like, an evil, like, dark, dark area.
Sorry, if you were this guy, would you be more concerned about entering a gray area or entering the evil, dark area?
You put your tongue in my butt and I'm a stranger. Like, I didn't know. I tried to realize this.
I know he's
not. I'm stuck.
I know he's not Encino Man. Like, I know he has some baseline. I'm just trying to get the easy stuff.
Well, but,
stuff
like, what about shoulder? What about shoulder?
Okay.
When is it okay to touch someone's shoulder?
I think you can touch someone's shoulder for one Mississippi, done, out. Longer than one Mississippi, and I think that unless you're posing for a picture. Like, I think that's...
I think also, like, there's a big difference between touching someone's shoulder, like, in greeting. Like, hey, and you kind of, like, smack their back, you know, kind of thing. Or, like, give them, like, a side hug. Versus, like, you're sitting there talking to them, and suddenly you just reach out and rest your hand on their shoulder.
Mm-hmm. That has to be saved for serious conversations.
Yes.
What if we invented some kind of social sex dice? And then whenever you greeted a stranger, you would each roll a dice, and it would tell you a body part to touch with their body part. But it wouldn't be anything perverse. It would just be, like, hand to, like, cheek.
Oh, so it's just, like, completely innocuous, like, elbow to elbow.
Yep, to knock your knees together. Elbow and then you would just, like, do a... Oh, you know what would be good? What if there was some sort of codified way of greeting somebody where you just, like, grabbed their hand and then grabbed your hand? Like, what are we fucking talking about?
He already covered handshakes. That part he is good with. He's trying to close the bridge between handshakes and kissing, and I'm trying to shine the light of truth on some of the pitfalls that he's got to avoid.
All right, flirty fun. Flirty fun. That's the new motto, flirty fun.
Mm-hmm. Keep it fun, keep it flirty, keep it not weird.
That's like nothing.
There's nothing you can do. This is the great... It's a mystery how anyone gets born.
No, you know what you do? You gotta take the shit that you already know. You gotta take your areas in which you are confident and competent, and you need to you gotta chop it and screw it. You gotta remix it a little bit. So, like, go in for that hug when you say goodbye to somebody you like. Maybe hold it in for, like, second and a half too long. Or like, really get your chin down in that neck. People are gonna either like that or not like that, and then you know. Or maybe when you're shaking their hand, you hold it for, like, a long time, and then you take your other hand, you take your index finger, and you make little circles on the back of their hand while you're holding it. This is just, like, fun, flirty stuff you can do.
Griffin's suggesting a very Diane Fossey sort of gorillas in the mist approach to learning social interaction, where just you physically do it and see if you get bitten.
And then take notes. And then move to a different town once you've established
your thing. That's another important thing. After every physical interaction, copious notes in front of the person. They need to see you're engaged.
And if you could do it like on a live blog kind of setup so that other people can learn from your experiences.
Oh, definitely. Definitely want to know what happens here. Definitely want some follow-up info.
Yeah. And maybe some GIFs.
Maybe a couple GIF GIFs.
Maybe the answer here is just to never be sort of the hugressor, if you will. And make it clear the sort of social, physical contact that you're in the market for. Sort of put your sign out and let that person take the lead.
I mean, because here's the thing. Realistically, like, as I've been sitting here trying to think about it, it's one of those things that as soon as you are thinking about it, there is nothing you can do that's not creepy. You know what I mean? Because the thing is as soon as it's not, like, just a spontaneous, like, action that you've taken, when you think about it, like, can I touch their shoulder right now? It's already creepy.
You're inherently thinking about something that you would be ashamed to say out loud. Like, you would never say out loud to someone, I've been thinking about how to touch you.
Yeah.
Because that dog will not hunt.
Touching you.
So I would say, like, the best thing to do is to just try to quiet your mind and just, like, hang out with the person and not worry about it. And then if, you know, in the course of the conversation, like, you end up, like, kind of, you know, touching their arm or whatever, so be it. But if you try to think about it while you're doing it, one, you're probably not paying attention to them and not really listening and being a good friend or flirting efficiently. And secondly, as you're thinking about it, you're ruining the moment by forcing it.
Yeah, but if you don't think, I mean, yes, but if you just go out, that's what being drunk is for, to do these sorts of things without consideration.
Oh, but was that not clear? You need to be drunk 24/7.
Yeah, there's nothing that people like around more than a touchy drunk guy.
Well, everybody
that's
else
never got anyone into
drunk.
Trouble.
Everybody else also has to be as drunk, if not more.
Did we all touch?
I was just going to make a joke about how you can sing ZZ Top's "I'm Just Looking for Some Touch" to people, but the name of that song is actually Tush. Like, they're singing, like, "I'm just looking for some tush." How the fuck have we allowed ZZ Top to get away with that shit since the summer of 75?
They have a song called, like, "Tube Snake Boogie."
Right.
How about wieners?
Oh, right, but
that song called "She Wants a Pearl Necklace."
But that's fun. But that's, like, fun. Like, a fun double entendre.
The joke
they're
is
literally anyone saying, like, "I'm just trying to hunt some fanny cheeks." Like, ZZ Top? "I just want to squeeze a titty." Like, ZZ Top, you can't just come out and say the thing that you want to do. "I would like to ejaculate thanks to a sexual partner's interaction with my genitals." ZZ Top.
ZZ Top, Mr. Top, please stop.
The joke, the persistent joke of ZZ Top is that anyone could ever love a bearded man. This is the great underlying satirical tone in their music, which you miss if you aren't paying close enough attention. Also,
the word, according to the Wikipedia article, the word "tush" is pronounced in the song in such a way that it rhymes with the word "rush," resulting in a monde green, which has some listeners believing the word is "touch" if they haven't read the lyrics. That's because they fucking like said the word wrong. You're not allowed to do that either. You're not allowed to do that either.
Say what you will, I love him on Duck Dynasty.
Some episodes of that show are really tushing. What are you fucking doing? Yeah. Here's a Yahoo answer. Here's a Yahoo mystery, Knights. It was sent to me by Jacob Holt. Thanks, Jacob. It's by Yahoo Answers user Mondo10, who asks, "Would it look cocky or vulgar if I posted a transformation pic on Facebook? Like, I was about to upload my before and after pic of how I was fat starting sophomore and how I look now with a six-pack and completely shredded. Would people hate or think I'm cocky? It's not like I'm doing a selfie of my body. It's putting both in one pic."
You're doing a double selfie.
Right, but if he was totally ripped and shredded in both pics, then I think it would be a selfie. I think this is, like, an admission of...
Let me throw this out. This is the only circumstance in which I would allow this. Picture one, ripped, shredded, lifting up your wife beater to show your abs, posing. Picture two, exact same picture, but you took it a month later after growing a mustache.
And you have a seventh. You have a seventh pack.
And it's like one of those, like, magic eye, like, find the differences. And the difference is the mustache and the seventh ab that's migrated up towards your right breast.
Right. And if you look really, really, if you put your face really close into those abs and you pull back just a little bit. Oh, it's a sailboat. There's a sailboat in there. That's fun.
I think that you should have one picture of yourself completely fat, totally fat. You probably have one of those. And then the second picture, you're shredded, right? Six-pack, the whole bit. Except you're surrounded by Nazi paraphernalia. and then people are forced to confront the nature of transformation and the steep price we must sometimes pay.
You take the good, you take the bad, you take them both.
There's a third panel that just says, "Worth it?" Question mark.
Maybe. It's up to you, listener. Fat, non-anti-Semitic Joe.
Okay, what about first picture? You're fat, but you're very happy. Second picture, you're ripped, but they can see that there's trouble behind your eyes. And then a third panel where you're fat again and clearly happy again.
Okay.
And, like, you've just come back around and be like, "You know what? I wasn't happy. I wasn't." And it's like Limitless.
No, it's like fucking Shallow Hal, if you're going to compare it to a film.
It's like Shallow Limitless.
I think that fat to, like, shredded up to, like, then a third panel where you're just kind of somewhere in the middle. And that's sort of a realistic take on weight loss. It's like, oh, man, I fucked slipped up. I need to... Eating healthy sucked, so I might as well just try and, like, balance out until I die.
You know, but they don't do that with other things. There's not, like, one where the dude's, like, just sitting in pajama pants at home watching SpongeBob SquarePants at, like, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and then the second panel where the guy's sitting in a cubicle, like, talking on the phone, giving a big thumbs up.
I don't understand. Like oh, you're talking...
being unemployed and employed. Like, there's not before and after for any other life
situation. Between
being
a kid and an adult, you mean?
Yes, thank you. But, like, that idea of saying, like, this was me fat and this is me fit. Like, there's no, like...
Okay.
This was me living in an apartment. This is me living in a house.
This is me before I learned C++ programming.
Yeah.
And this is me after I learned it. Can you tell?
Right?
I programmed this Facebook.
I don't understand. I don't understand the obsession.
I used to not be able to cook quinoa. Now I totally do, and I eat it all the time. Can you tell? Before and after. You look so much happier in the second picture. Yeah, it's the quinoa. I told you.
I learned
it. It's an ancient grain.
Superfood.
It's a superfood and an ancient grain. This is me pre-goji. This is me after goji. You can tell because I'm fucking... I have a 13-pack and I'm fucking glowing.
And I'm floating 6 inches off the
ground. I'm floating 6 inches off the ground and I'm shooting beams of energy out of my chi holes.
I went Super Saiyan. There, mm-hmm. It's out.
I went Super Saiyan thanks to my goji and my ancient grains.
If we want to buy more goji and ancient grains, we got to get some money. So let's do that now. Now we talk a lot about sex toys on this program week to week.
We do?
I know. Thanks to our friends at extremeandstrange.com. But I want to change it up. I feel like we give so much coverage to extremeandstrange.com's sex toys that we miss all the other great options.
I get all my groceries off Extreme Restraints.
Mm-hmm.
The Claiming of Sleeping Beauty. That's a book. You could just buy that. It's by Anne Rice.
It's a very, it's a book about the creator of Sleeping Beauty, who is very litigious. And there were a lot of people who wrote basically Sleeping Beauty knockoffs. And so this writer had to, like, defend her intellectual property. It's very fascinating stuff, very interesting.
It's probably not about that at all. There's also a book you can pick up called Bondage for Sex, which is a great, I'm glad they're differentiating from, I don't know, bondage for tax evasion? I don't know the or other like reasons for bondage.
Pipe sealant, I'm guessing.
I guess. You can
bondage
get
bondage for own protection.
Bondage for your own safety.
You're a werewolf.
For werewolves. Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Or maybe like you just can't control yourself around chocolate chip cookies, you know? Like if you put me in front of them, I'm going to eat them. So I'm going to need you to strap into this bed.
Yep. Hold me back. There's a paddle. That's great for strict parents.
Or for getting pizzas out of the oven.
If you want the bottom of your child or the bottom of your pizza to say slut on it backwards.
Who doesn't?
Will you make this amazing artichoke slut pizza? Can we have that for dinner tonight? Can we have slut pizza for dinner tonight?
Absolutely. That's the only thing on my menu. And, I mean, of course, there's nipple clamps. There's so much extremerestraints.com. Chastity devices, which are like the opposite of sex toys. Think about it. And so much more. The good news is you can get it all 20% off by using the coupon code SEXABUNGA. That's SEXABUNGA.
You didn't like spell. You just said it again. You didn't spell it.
One
more time, SEXABUNGA. Can you believe it?
SEXABUNGA.
Just like it sounds.
Spelled just like it sounds.
All capitalized and with 3 exclamation points.
And unsettling. It's all waiting for you at extremerestraints.com. Go get 20% off right now.
I have a message for Blaine from Mary, who says, "In just a few days, we will be married. I can't properly express how excited I am to spend the rest of my life with you. I look forward to years of cats, video games, and traveling all over the world. I love everything about you and hope that someday we can finally own a horse together. I did not misspell house."
I'm sure this comes as quite the surprise to Blaine.
A horse is like the best shelter I think you can have.
Like a tax shelter?
No, like a living place.
Oh, okay.
Because
I would point out, though, that if you're hoping to travel the world, maybe having a pet horse isn't the way to go because you can't really, like, take them with you.
And God knows,
no, and they're not.
And God knows
they're
you'll
not.
Want to. Like, you're not going to want to leave them. That's the problem. All your plans for, you know, you can make all these plans. We're going to be different from all the other horse owners. We're going to be cool, you know. But once you have the horse, everything changes.
Yeah.
You're going to want to stay home more, you know. Maybe another night watching Project Runway reruns, not so bad, because you get to do it together as a family with your horse.
Mm-hmm. I've been looking into this two-bedroom, two-bath horse here in Austin. I can get it for a song. It's really competitive, the horsey market.
I got a message for Alexandra Splendor from Alexandra Splendor. And she says, "Hey, brothers, it's my 20th birthday on the 21st. I want to treat myself to a special birthday message from my favorite trio. My friend Amber introduced me to your show via Corn Cob Boy, and I've been obsessed ever since. Your show has helped me get through life with a smile. Danny Glover, you all. P.S. Can Griffin say sugar water?
Like sugar water.
There you go. we had a fucking exterminator come to our house because we have a very serious ant problem. And my cat, like, went ape shit on him. Like, I've never seen my cat, like, freak the fuck out before. And when I told Rachel, she was like, is it possible that he was a bunch of bugs in a suit? Like the guy... Like the cockroach guy from Men in Black.
If he's a bunch of bugs in a suit, being an exterminator seems a cruel twist of fate.
That's the maybe, or the else book. He's just like false flagging it and just spraying water. He's
or like sugar water.
Sugar, he's spraying sugar water all around right, my house. Sir, he's like, enjoy my little bug buds.
You shouldn't have any more problems with ants. we've sprayed it with a deadly toxin.
You sound like Torgo. Is that where you're going
for? The only way to check it is to leave apples on the counter. A dish of jelly? Well, that seems perfect.
We have one more message. It's for Alicia Neal from Justin Gray. Happy birthday. Happy 30th birthday to Alicia Neal. Wonderful painter, beloved by corgis, never-ending story, an MBMBAM devotee. An all-around swell lady from her dumbo partner in crime and co-liver in sin, Justin. May this year bring you the fanciest of cocktails, macaroons, adventures, and parties.
I feel like I know everything about this lady now.
Yeah, yeah. I have a window into her soul.
I like that we're on par with Neverending Story.
I wouldn't say that.
That's heady praise.
But she's devoted to us both. She is a servant of two masters.
I don't think we could call ourselves her master. That's we terrible. Are.
Okay. Now we're a master.
Welcome to the fold, Alicia. Please put on this robe.
This robe smells terrible.
Didn't you have this stink harvested?
I forgot to put it outside the window. I'm so sorry.
New question.
I'm on a semester abroad in France, and there are some really cool girls here that I've met, both English-speaking and not. I'd really like to take one out to dinner to get to know her better, but apparently in Europe... that is much too serious and reserved for actual couples. I feel like anything less than a date just puts me in the friend zone. How do I show interest in a girl without taking her on a date? That's from Really Confused in, I don't know, some French city, I think. I can't pronounce it.
Some foreign place.
First off, friend zone is illusion.
Yep, that doesn't exist.
Second off, they're women, not girls. Like, this yeah, just blanket, okay,
we'll just get all the shit. Classics out of the way. Now,
France
let me
isn't
get
a country.
It's a commonwealth. It is a union of nation states.
Let me get to the real meat of this question. What exactly about the last 3.5 years we've all spent together have you said, boy? These guys have such a good handle on how relationships work in America. I bet that they're just experts about all around the globe. Like, do you really think
they seem like intercontinental classy gentlemen?
You think we got so smart about relationships in America that we've like branched out to challenge ourselves? We don't know where to put hands. The only thing we could tell a guy is not to touch people's butts. Like, that's where we're at, caveman status.
Is it possible that it is simply like, and I know you said English speaking and non-English speaking, but is it possible that it's just like different connotations to like here when you say go on a date, it just means like you're going one-on-one with the person to go do something. And maybe there when you say like go on a date, it just carries a different kind of weight. Because what difference is there? Like, if you just said, like, hey, do you want to go hang out and see a movie? How is that different?
Travis, I don't know. It's another goddamn country.
Because it seems to me like, you know, the question this person's asking is, like, hey, they don't want to call it a date. How do I still get to know them? By just hanging...
Just being around them and then, like, listening to them talk and then interpreting the things they say and then, like, storing that data
in
your brain.
Without having to label it like an American?
That's the problem.
That's the issue.
That's the issue. You got to think a little bit more European. Travis, you're going to Europe in a couple months. Mm-hmm. How have you started to recalibrate your thought patterns?
Well, I got a passport.
Sure, that's key.
Driving on the other side of the road.
Does this person have a passport?
Do you have a passport? Have you checked their passport? That'd be a good way to learn some stuff about them.
Let's swap
like their passport
for a
number.
Let's pack each other's bags for travel.
Let me see all your visas. Went to Istanbul, huh?
Can I check your receipts for travel? Do you have anything to declare? Mm-hmm. Have you brought any fruits and vegetables?
Just a quick question. Just a quick get to know you. You got any foreign soils? Got any jars of foreign soils that you're sneaking in?
I was wondering about your youth, and specifically your youth of within the last 3 weeks, and have you interacted with any livestock?
I know that this is... the Brothers McElroy told me that this is a social faux pas, but I'm going to have to stick my finger in your butthole just to make sure you don't got any foreign soils in there. Or livestock.
I have a bit of a problem.
Don't do it. Why are you trying to start a relationship that you know when the semester is over is just going to end in heartbreak? Didn't you see fucking Before Sunrise?
Or After Sunset?
Or after Sunset or...
From Dusk Till Dawn?
12:30? They had a movie called 12:30. It was a minute long. They were at Hardee's, and they were eating they were drinking a triple thick milkshake. And at the very end of the movie, she's like, "Why are we eating at hot?" And then credits.
Haunting stuff.
It is not Linklater's best work. In fact, I'll go out on a limb and call it his worst work.
You know, that was the last movie Roger Ebert ever saw. His quote upon leaving the theater was, "Oh man,
stop it."
Not like this.
Not like this. You guys want Yahoo?
Not now.
You guys want a Yahoo Nights Mystery?
Yeah, please.
This Yahoo Nights Mystery was sent in by Nathan Hull. Thanks, Nathan. It's by Yahoo Answers user Cassie, who asks, "Simple cosplay ideas for me. I really want to do a cosplay for Crazy Day at school, but I don't have any money to buy and thing. So is there a cosplay I can make with normal cloths but still have it look cool? I have wavy, shoulder-length blonde hair and blue eyes."
Wait. So she's asking, is there a cosplay I can do without dressing up?
No. She has normal cloths. Not a big budget. She needs a lot of bang.
And give me her look one more time.
Shoulder-length blonde hair and blue eyes. Wavy. Wavy-ass hair.
Oh.
Well, imagine
is that Buffy? Could she do Buffy?
No, thinking more like Carrie Bradshaw.
You could go as Carrie Bradshaw.
It's a pretty lazy answer. Expected a little bit more from you.
You could go as Carrie Bradshaw's evil twin.
Barry Bradshaw.
Barry Bradshaw. That sounds more like a football player. You could go as a football player. Maybe he's like a scary doctor.
Are you just naming things that women can be? Like, is that just our...
Devolving more into, like, Halloween costumes.
At least he went fairly progressive down that line.
Yeah.
Women can be doctors. Women can be football players.
They can be ghosts.
Women can be ghosts. Hey, women can be mummies, too, you know? Such a narrow-minded point of view.
All mummies are women. Otherwise, they're duddies.
That joke was a duddy.
Like Duddy Rock, like Sean Paul.
I'm sorry, what?
Take that thing, Duddy, Sean Paul.
You could be Sean Paul. Could you cosplay as Sean Paul? No one knows what he looks like, anyways. The man's a mystery.
Sean Paul is constantly changing.
Sean Paul is anonymous. Sean Paul is Guy Fawkes. It's hard to hear him at his concerts through his mask. Can you take the mask off, Sean Paul?
I can't reveal my identity.
Another thing you didn't know about Sean Paul is he's not a person. According to his Wikipedia page, Duddy Rock is the second album by reggae dancehall toaster Sean Paul. So he's been a toaster this whole time. You didn't suspect that. He certainly has good flow for a toaster.
Shake that thing, Miss Thing. I'm so sorry.
Hello. Your toast is done. It's Brandon Cudgy.
Oh, man, all these are so terrible.
Sorry, Sean Paul, like... but if you're unpopular for long enough, you get on the list. Fucking random list of people that we summon from the grave, like Dr. Frankenstein, to turn into comedy chews for our podcast. Should have had a hit, son. Yep.
I imagine him and Duffy just sharing a long embrace. Like, it's okay.
Welcome to my brother and me, Bullied Anonymous. Please, no names. Just the names that they gave us. Duffy, Squinto, Sean Paul the Toaster. Welcome.
I haven't been mentioned on my brother and me in 3 months. So proud of you.
That's the problem. See, you have people like French Stewart who've crawled their way back up to relevance by getting back onto TV, and then we can't talk about him anymore.
No. Apparently, oh, by the way, you fucked up. Duffy is on Dallas, too, so we're going to have to scratch him off the list.
And he's also not on Dukes of Hazzard.
No. He's not?
No.
Patrick Duffy wasn't in
Dukes of Hazzard. It was
Tom Wopat. Well.
It was Wopat and the dad from Smallville.
Well. I mean.
What? Say
you,
it.
You say potato. you say Wopato. How about another question?
Wow, you are 100% right, Travis. He was not on the Dukes of Hazzard.
Yeah.
He absolutely was not.
It's okay. We'll get it in the Corrections Retractions episode. I'll be like,
that's what episode 200.
Episode 200 is going to be like things we fucked up through history.
And it's 4 hours.
It's going to be a very long one.
I have a bit of a problem involving two friends. These friends of mine have been in a relationship for a good few months now. However, it is common for them to show their affection for one another in public. It has even come to the point in which it can be rude, for example. I would be talking to one of them. Then the other will interrupt our conversation, and they'll start smooching each other. Is it not just me that has an issue with this? Number of our friends also find it uncomfortable. What would you guys do in this situation?
So it's like you're talking about the latest episode of like America's Next Top Model, and then one of your friends is like, "Oh, hold up, smooch break."
I don't even think they're that polite about it. I don't even think they interject like, "Hold on, talking time is about to be put on hold while I get my smooch on."
Are you?
Can you crouch down low and then very slowly slide your face in between their faces and get kisses on your cheek?
I'm just gonna excuse me.
Let me just boop 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 boop. So yeah, on the latest episode, Corey pulls this great prank.
I feel like if you made your displeasure with that known just like once, it would be enough to shame them into stopping, right? I mean, have you said, like, hey, that's kind of rude. Like, just say that?
Hey, could you guys cool it a bit?
Just say that. Come
that's
on.
That's a little brat. Do you know why?
Because I'm developing a theory on this, and I believe it is because in real life, people would rather have that thing in their group that everybody can form around and kind of bitch about quietly behind people's backs than just address it and have it be done, because it's more interesting.
Oh my God, you are getting real.
Yeah, right, but like, I've seen that happen. I've done that before, where it's like, it's more fun to bitch about the person behind their back than it is to actually take steps to fix the problem.
Travis, that is such a good reminder, and I think we've gone too long without reminding people that it is 2013.
That's true.
We are supposed to be getting out the dirt, washing it out, shaking it out.
Wash dirt, can you?
No.
You I'm just saying the thing you said was dumb and wrong. When you try to wash dirt, it turns into mud, and that's not especially clean.
Okay.
And then when you try to wash mud, it just goes away.
Okay.
Goes
away. Well,
then you're left with nothing.
You gotta bleach it and teach it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that means.
I don't either. Doesn't rhyme with 13 either. So what the fuck are you doing?
You gotta clean it.
And clean rhymes with 13. Like, stop. Put that part at the end.
You gotta clean it and screen it. The screen keeps more of it from coming back. Okay. So you clean it, and then you screen it out.
Okay. Wrap your friends. 2013. Wrap your friends.
Clean it.
Wrap your friends in a protective screen.
Have you thought about, like, a Faraday cage for your friends? Oh, put your two friends in two separate Faraday cages, and that will keep their kissing electrons from meeting.
Put your friends in a box, and then put a vial full of harmful radiation in that box. Maybe it'll break. Maybe your friends are dead. Maybe they're not. You are existing in two universes simultaneously where your friends are both necking and not necking. Isn't that a little bit better?
No? Okay.
Nope. You're your friends did die? With shit.
Existential dread?
Oh, no.
Not again.
Not again. Sorry.
Or maybe not again. We don't know.
We're not sure. Open the box. Don't open the box.
Don't open it.
Don't open that box.
But open
until Christmas.
You're gonna see some limbs. Limbs akimbo. All akimbo. Like,
it's gonna look like two giant Guy Fawkes Stevens in there. Mm-hmm. Hey, thank you so much for hanging out with us again for another hour. We hope you've enjoyed yourself half as much as we have. Thank you to those tweeting
about that seems about accurate.
Yeah. Matt Oldenburg.
I didn't enjoy myself all that much, so 50% of that. I hope you're
able to muddle through it.
Yeah.
Just like we did.
Jordan B., Mega Shuri, Zacharias, Scrooge McDunk, Ray Frinden, Sean, Luke Gain, Don Zacharias. Thank you so much for sharing the show. We sure appreciate it. A lot.
I want to thank John Roderick and the Long Winters. I want to put myself out there, make myself a little vulnerable for a second, and just thank John Roderick and the Long Winters for the use of our theme song, It's a Departure, off the album Putting the Days to Bed. Heard a lot of people say, Griffin, I bought Putting the Days to Bed. Where do I go now? How about When I Pretend to Fall? How about the other one?
The name of which escapes me.
The name of which I cannot recall.
That would be a badass name for an album.
How about
The Name of Which Escapes Me?
There's the Ultimatum EP. That's one. Lot of albums. Lot maybe of four or there. Five.
Maybe anyway, if you're looking, then John Roderick will make more for us.
Mm-hmm.
He's just been waiting for you.
This whole podcast is basically a pyramid scheme to get people to buy Long Winters albums so we can get that new one. Anyway, thanks, John Roderick. Thanks, Long Winters.
And then if you're looking for something else to listen to, go check out the other Max Fun podcasts. Stop Podcasting Yourself, Throwing Shade, Jordan Jesse Go, Bullseye. And check out Sawbones. It's a podcast all about pee-pee.
It's not all about pee-pee. I mean,
I listened to this week's episode. You guys talk about nothing but urine on your show.
It's
every
a medical
week.
History show, but okay. Anyway, there's lots of other shows.
If you like, if you want to listen to a pee-pee cast, well then you're in luck. With Sawbones, starring Justin McElroy, Sidney McElroy.
Griffin, didn't you have a last question for us?
I have a last one, yeah, the last one. This one was sent in by Jacob Aller. Thanks, Jacob. It's by Yahoo Answers user King K, who asks, what inventions did Paul Bunyan make?
My name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
It's been my brother and me. Kiss your dad, square on the lips.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.